It's time for Marquette College Game Day, powered by ESPN Milwaukee.
Deshaun Jones, 40 seconds left. Sean Jones, open three. Good! Wow. He hit it!
That's big there.
He hit it!
Huge.
Sean Jones!
Talk about stepping up in a big moment.
To a cutting Cam Jones, lands
it! He got it!
He got it! Perfection!
Wow!
Literal perfection!
Lucas Oles!
Again?
Logo three!
Gone!
Oh! He just...
Lucas!
He just won the Cintas MVP of the game.
Cam Jones still dribbling. Back out to Joplin on the perimeter. 12 to shoot. Joplin.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
David Joplin. Wow.
Kolick still with it. He'll try a logo three.
Good.
Why not?
Good. You think it can't get better, and it just did.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue. Here's Brian D.
The Marquette Golden Eagles finally back where they belong. Good evening, everybody. Welcome into a Sweet 16 edition of Marquette College Game Day. The Golden Eagles taking on NC State, the 11th seed in the South region tonight. Tip off at 6:09. Gabe Neitzel has your network pregame coverage coming up right here on ESPN Milwaukee at 5:30. A sense of vindication for Marquette head coach Shaka Smart tonight. He's back in the Sweet 16 for the first time since taking VCU there in 2011, exercising some of his personal demons at Texas and early in his career at Marquette. Shaka spoke earlier this week with ESPN Radio's new morning show Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman talking about this season, this team, and how he's feeling going into tonight's matchup against NC State.
This is a little hard for me as a University of Wisconsin grad, interviewing the Marquette head coach, but man, has he done a hell of a job. It is Shaka Smart joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Alone, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. Coach, let's start with this. We like to have fun on our show. We talk food all the time. What's with the milkshakes? The road wins milkshakes. Give us the backstory on the milkshakes with the Marquette team.
Well, winning on the road is hard, particularly in the Big East. So there needs to be, you know, some type of incentive beyond just the win. So it's a way to celebrate. You know, for us, it's a chance to, everybody loves milkshakes. So it's a chance to, come together after a big win, doing something together and have a small celebration.
Coach, this is a unique tournament in that we don't really have a lot of obvious Cinderellas for teams from smaller conferences, but we do have NC State, who has kind of been the adopted Cinderella in this tournament, and that's who you guys have up next this weekend in the Sweet 16. Curious to know what kind of challenges this NC State team poses for your squad.
Well, I think it starts with Burns. He's a piece of work. I mean, he is phenomenal down there. You know, just the way he can pass, the way he can spin off defenders. Obviously, his feel for the game, his touch around the basket. He is a very unique player. So we're going to have to do a good job trying to, you know, give him different looks. I don't think you can guard him the same way every time. And then their guys are playing with incredible confidence. They've won 7 games in a row, including 5 in 5 days in the ACC tournament, and obviously the last 2 in the NCAA tournament.
Coach, you have been in a position before where you've made a deep tournament run, getting to the Final Four. What's different in your coaching approach from the regular season to the tournament? What do you have to change in order to have success in this format?
Well, I think most of the things stay the same because the same things go into winning. But I do think that it feels different, and the nerves and the excitement is different. So the way you support the guys, the way that you help them through just the environment is different. And I think it comes down to, again, leaning on your habits, leaning on your relationships with one another. And I would say when you get to March, being even more of a cheerleader as a coach than we were in the previous months.
Coach, there are 3 Big East teams, by my count, that have gotten to the Sweet 16. What does it say about the strength of your league to have that representation from your conference?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get some of the other teams in our league into the NCAA tournament that we felt were deserving. You know, it was just kind of a strange dynamic with all the bid stealers. But certainly UConn is as good as anyone in the country, if not better. Creighton's playing at a high level, and our guys have done a great job getting us to this spot.
Coach, after your team punched their ticket to the Sweet 16, you were a bit emotional after that victory over Colorado. If you don't mind, take us into that moment. Why did you feel emotional after that victory?
Well, have you ever gone to the Sweet 16? It's emotional. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a human being. Our players are human beings. You know, we've been through a lot of twists and turns over the course of our season and even previous seasons. And so to go do something special with a group of guys that you love and that love each other, that is very emotional. And it'll continue to be emotional because this is a season that we don't want to end.
We're talking with Shaka Smart, head coach of Marquette. They have NC State on Friday. They're the 2 seed. Tyler Kolek, your point guard, you mentioned him. People have compared him to Steve Nash. That's not fair to anyone, honestly, in college. But how good is he, and how impressed were you with the rest of the team that you were able to win without him in the Big East tournament a little bit?
Well, make no mistake about it, we're way better with him. Our guys did a good job for 6 games trying to fill in and step forward when he was out. But him coming back in the first round of the NCAA tournament gave us a real shot in the arm. He's the best passer I've ever coached. He's as competitively mature as anyone I've ever been around in college basketball. And he just is a winner. He wants to win. He finds ways to make his teammates better. And we're really, really grateful that he's on our team.
Coach, in this era of NIL, I'm curious to know how that impacts your recruiting and the challenges that you have not being at a program like Texas anymore, being at a program that doesn't necessarily have the coffers, doesn't necessarily have the same level of financial backing. What are the challenges in being able to recruit and retain your players in this era of NIL?
Well, if somebody wants to come to college and their number one reason that they're going to choose a school is NIL, then they should not come here. Our guys actually get really, really good NIL support, but we've never once used it in recruiting as an incentive. Technically, you're not supposed to do that. Obviously, everybody does. But we want people to come here because they want to win, because they want to be a part of something special, because they value relationships, growth, and victory, which is the same 3 things that we value. Obviously, there's some pragmatics behind. I know what it's like being a college kid with the same $2 in my pocket for a month straight. So these guys absolutely deserve to benefit from NIL, and our guys do. We have very, very good NIL support for our current players, and I do think that they value that and they appreciate that. But that's not why they choose to be here. They choose to be here because of the experience they have as part of our program.
Coach, one other thing, just to follow up on that, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe you have any transfers on the team or limited amounts of transfers on the team. Is that correct?
We have one transfer. We took Tyler Kolek. My very first day getting the job, I called Tyler Kolek. He was transferring from George Mason because his coach had been let go. Otherwise, he never would have left. Other than that, everyone on our team started their career at Marquette. I believe we're one of only 2 programs at the high major level, along with Michigan State, that's not taken a Division I transfer in the last 2 years. Nothing against transfers, but I love getting to know guys and their families during their junior year of high school, building a relationship with them, and really coming together around a partnership to help them grow as a person first and then as a player. And then you know who you're dealing with. You know who's on your team as opposed to out there coaching strangers.
And is that realistic to keep up in the modern day world of college basketball? Of like, hey, we're going to have these kids. We're going to develop these kids. They're going to be great by the end and go to the pros, as you've had players do that. Is that realistic to keep up?
Man, that is the fascinating question. It's going to be interesting to see because obviously it's not the norm. And there are a lot of very, very good players in the transfer portal. So it would kind of be like an NBA team saying, hey, we're not going to take any free agents. I don't think anyone would be silly enough to take away from that. But at the same time, I don't really like prioritizing someone coming in from the outside over guys that have worn our jersey and have won and have shed their blood, sweat, and tears in our practice gym. Something doesn't sit right about that with me. That doesn't mean we would never take a transfer, but we're absolutely going to prioritize the guys that are already in our program.
Well, Coach, best of luck tomorrow against NC State. Been a great run so far. Keep it up, and we'll look forward to talking to you again as you win here. Thank you.
Well, hopefully I'll be on with you next week.
We are all as hopeful that Shaka is back on with ESPN Radio's Unsportsmanlike as he is as well. Coming up next year on Marquette College Game Day, we'll check in with Milwaukee Buck Pat Connaughton, who's super close with Tyler Kolek. How's he feeling about this tournament run? That's on the other side. This is Marquette College Game Day on 94.5 ESPN.
This is Marquette College Game Day with Brian D. Brought to you by National Liquor Mart, Cousin Subs, Best Electric Service, the U.S. Army ROTC, and Marquette Athletics on the home of Marquette Basketball, 94.5 ESPN.
Welcome back into Marquette College Game Day. Brian D with you until 5:30 this evening ahead of Marquette's Sweet 16 matchup against the NC State Wolfpack. Thanasis Antetokounmpo, host of Thanalysis. You can get the podcast anywhere that you get your podcast. Subscribe today. He spoke earlier this week with Milwaukee Buck and former Notre Dame college basketball player Pat Connaughton about the Marquette Golden Eagles. Why? Pat is really close with Tyler Kolek. He's watched Marquette a ton this year. Here's Pat and TA from Thanalysis earlier this week, chopping up tonight's game and how far Marquette might be able to go.
Now you're in Milwaukee, yeah. You're cheering for Marquette, right?
Yeah, I cheer for Marquette. So for those of you that don't know, Marquette and Notre Dame back in the Big East days, we had a rivalry. You know, Jay Crowder played for him, Wesley Matthews, Vander Blue, DJO. We had a lot of battles with them when I was at school, and we took them down a few times in the Big East tournament. And so a lot of people would see it as an old rivalry. And I do, you know, when Notre Dame plays Marquette, I root for Notre Dame. However, one of my buddies who grew up playing with the same AU program as me, Tyler Kolek, is now running the point guard show for Marquette.
Yeah.
It's been for a few years, and they've been very good and gotten to know Shaka Smart a little bit. So, and there's actually Bill Scholl. He's the athletic director at Marquette. He was a Notre Dame grad. So yeah, There's a lot of kind of crossover there. So I very, very much do root for them to do well. I attend quite a few of their games. I wear a Kolek jersey. and I'm happy for the run that they've been having over the last few years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You said Coach Shaka Smart. What do you think about the year and him? Like, what's your...
I love watching him coach. And that's a funny thing to say, right? Because you watch the players play. Watching the energy, the passion, the things that he brings to his team on a nightly basis. Back when I was college, he was at VCU. And he had a defense called, Havoc. And it was run, jump, press. Literally create havoc. And they were tremendous at it. And I think to see how he's brought that style of play with, in my opinion, a little bit more of a refined approach where it's not straight havoc. It's, they cause chaos, but it's structured chaos, and they have the ability to slow down when needed, and they have the ability to get great shots. But it all kind of starts on the defensive end, and I think that's something that you and I know well that we've built in Milwaukee in general in the last 5 years with the Bucks is, when our defense is clicking on all cylinders, we have a really good chance of winning and advancing in the playoffs, and that's what Shaq has done. And it's been really cool to see him out and about in the city of Milwaukee and utilizing his platform for more.
Most definitely. I think first of all, I know that, have they told you that you have this radio voice, this radio kind of
voice?
I would love you guys can comment and let me know. I'd love to have Pat here as a regular, but I know he's busy and everything. But hey, if you ever think about it, would love to have you. What do you think about Marquette's Big Three? I mean, honestly, is this accurate saying, their big three is Cam, also, and Tyler?
So their big three to me, Tyler's a point guard.
Yeah.
Can really distribute the ball. Cam can score the ball at all three levels. And also the big guy, he's a force in the paint, right? So when you look at the big three with the Milwaukee Bucks, you look at Dame, you look at Chris, you look at Giannis, mm-hmm. right? You've got three guys that complement each other really well, that play very well with each other and play off of each other very well. And I think in college basketball, that's rare. A lot of times you get a lot of guys that just want to fill it up, right? Just want to shoot, just want to score. But I think the combination of those three have really helped. And they have great role players as well, which we know obviously is important when you're trying to go far in the postseason, go far in a tournament, conference tournament, March Madness, whatever it is. So I think those three, in watching them play over the last few years, it's been impressive to see them grow, but impressive to see how they've continued to grow together.
Yeah, sure. I want to give a shout out to Stevie Mitchell. You know, kind of like you, scrappy, athletic, underrated shooter. You know, just really underrated. Like yeah. you, I think like what you bring to the team and what you do, like it's so underrated. What's your opinion? Do you know him at all? Did you see him?
Yeah. So, you know, following Tyler and following Marquette a little bit more, I know he was injured a little earlier in the year, and they had their ups and downs. They were up, I think, as close as 2 or 3, 4 in the country, and then they were down as far as, you know, 18, 19. But I think he plays a big part of it. You know, when we talk about a team, we talk about a winning team, we talk about, you know, guys having opportunities to show what they can do, but doing whatever it is that's needed for the team to win. You know, that kind of epitomizes what I've seen him do. You know, he plays defense, he gets up into guys, he makes sure guys aren't comfortable, and mm-hmm. we've always talked about that. We'd be physical with them, you know, put them in a position that they don't necessarily like. But he can make shots, he can drive to the basket, he can make big plays. And at the end of the day, you know, we talk about it all the time in the locker room today. Like, we're here to win, right? We're not necessarily here just to score points, just to get stats, or just to do things that show up on the stat sheet. We're here trying to get a win at the end of the day, and I think he does a great job of that.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. You know what? I don't want to. I wouldn't ask you so much about NBA stuff so much, but you know, I know. Hopefully, we get you on a full episode of analysis. You know, and again, if you guys want to subscribe, if you guys want to listen, we are available on every platform. If you want to get your audio, if you're going to want to get your visuals, this is our analysis show on YouTube. But let's finish with this. Give me your thoughts, NC State, man. Simon, give me your thoughts, man.
So, NC State. They're, I don't want to say a Cinderella in a sense of being disrespectful to them. They're a great team, but you know, they had to win the ACC tournament in order to get into March Madness, and they had to play, I think, 4 or 5 games in the ACC tournament and win all of them single elimination to get to March Madness. So to see what they've put together as a team, to see what they've done, and to see, you know, the players they have, you know, a bunch of great complementary players. They got the big guy Burns. I believe his name is DJ Burns. He's a lefty, plays down low. He's kind of like he had a great quote. You know, he always watched Hakeem Olajuwon on tape, but he ended up with the body of Zach Randolph.
And, no, he did say that?
Yeah, Zach Randolph. I mean, Zach Randolph, tremendous Hall of Fame type career.
Yeah.
And this kid's got moves, and they got a lot of guys around him that have, you know, done a great job of, you know, stepping up when needed. I was watching one of their games by happenstance because I got another old AAU teammate that plays for North Carolina, and you know, when they were playing to the semifinal game to get to the finals, a kid hit a three at the buzzer to send it in overtime and ended up winning. So to see, you know, those kids at the collegiate level step up when asked, it's really cool. And then obviously NC State, they're a dangerous team. It's one of those things that, you know, back when we were playing in the Sweet 16 against Fred VanVleet's team at Wichita State, they were not necessarily expected to be in the Sweet 16, similar to NC State. You can never overlook those teams because they're dangerous. So I think it'll be a great game. I think it'll be a fun one to watch.
That is Pat Connaughton and Thanasis Antetokounmpo on Thanalysis. Subscribe anywhere that you get your podcast. We will wrap up Marquette College Game Day as we inch ever closer to Marquette and NC State in the Sweet 16. That's on the other side. This is Marquette College Game Day on 94.5 ESPN.
This is Marquette College Game Day with Brian D. Brought to you by National Liquor Mart, Cousin Subs, and Marquette Athletics on the home of Marquette Basketball, 94.5 ESPN.
6'9", 275. I will take the over on both. Welcome back into Marquette College Game Day. Golden Eagles, NC State Wolfpack, Sweet 16 tipping off at 6:09 this evening right here on ESPN Milwaukee. Containing DJ Burns. He's the big fella tonight. That is the key to the game, according to Homer and the Hall of Famer Tony Smith.
Big Burns is the guy that everybody's talking about. He's a big dude, he's nimble, he's got a nice touch. Yeah, I mean, but you know, he's a guy who sparks them, right? You know,
yes.
Marquette has like Stevie Mitchell. He'll make a play defensively and spark the team. That's what he does for NC State. So you got to be careful letting him make too many plays, especially early on. You know, and then the guys get their swag. You know, that's what you don't want them having that, thinking that, okay, it's going to be another night for us here. That's exactly what you don't want to think. You want to shut them down early, smack him on the head and let him know, oh, maybe our run is over. Because that's the type of stuff that creeps into your mind as an athlete. You're like, okay, maybe our little hot streak here is over. Like, we can't do anything. We're not effective like we had been, right? That starts creeping in your mind, and that affects your body. So that's why you always want to come out and step on people. So if Marquette can do that, I think they will have that mental advantage of NC State maybe starting to doubt themselves.
All right. If Marquette can contain DJ Burns and play a full 40 minutes, they will see themselves advance to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2013. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for hanging on Marquette College Game Day. Gabe Neitzel has your network pregame coming up next. This has been Marquette College Game Day on 94.5 ESPN.